afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for this 225th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. My guest today is Roberta March, who was born and raised in Cienorte, Norte, Brazil, a city of roughly 100,000 people located in the subtropical climate. Paraná is the region of Brazil from which she comes between Paraguay and the Atlantic Ocean. Roberta has a BA in business administration, a master's degree in marketing and human resources, and she's had a career in banking before becoming an accomplished artist. Roberta focuses mostly on mosaic making. She's currently attending Maine College of Art to earn her Master's of Fine Arts. And welcome to the show, Roberta. So glad to have you.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I wondered if we might start with your big Brazilian family. You moved, they moved to Brazil from post-World War II Italy, or actually maybe even sooner than that. You grew up the great-grandchild of immigrants. How did being an immigrant impact your family's identity?
Yeah, they moved to Brazil around 900s and actually before the war. And I remember my grandmother always telling me that they came in this big ship, her mom and dad, and they could never go back to Italy. And they always had this feeling of missing the family they left behind. But I think that brought the strength for the family because, you know, we always look at each other and we are always being a very close family because they value a lot what they made in Brazil.
Sure. They brought their Italian family culture and applied it to the people they had nearby.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would be really hard, though, leaving people behind. We don't quite understand that anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, if you cannot, you're not able to go back and visit, it can be very hard. Like we say in Brazil, saudade is when you miss someone. It's a word that we use a lot. And it's not really a translate in English that can say that. But the feeling everybody knows when they can't go to the country they come from for some reasons. And, you know, you miss the people.
Yeah, a little homesickness.
Yes.
I can understand that. So I wondered if you'd take me back to a time when you were surrounded by your big extended Italian-style family of nearly 50 loved ones that you grew up in the area with. What did your family do for fun when they got together?
Well, we are a big family in Brazil. I have two brothers and a sister, but my father's family had like 9 brothers. And of course, I grew up with a lot of cousins around and we had big Christmas parties and Easter. We come from a Catholic family in Brazil that always come on these religion ceremonies together and have big barbecues. That is the churrasco in Brazil. And it's all with meat and music. And it's a lot of happiness around family. And this was the childhood was really centered on that. I grew up in a very small town, like you said. It's 75,000 people that live around there, almost Portland size.
Oh, yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah, but it's smaller in the feeling. Like a lot of immigrants went there from Lebanon, actually, and they start making clothes. And today they sell all around the world, from Cianorte to the world, and focus a lot on jeans. Like it's a beautiful clothes they make in my town. I'm very proud of that.
Yes, I noticed online that it's well known for its textile industry.
Yes.
And clothes making industry. Was your family involved with clothes making?
Not really. My family, they start the first hotel in this little town, and it was really a big home. They welcome people, and they have very little structure in the town. They really helped to build, and you know, today you have schools with the my family name in Brazil, and it keeps the tradition. It really helped.
The school's named after your family?
Yes.
What's your native, your
it's an Italian name is Manfrinato. Yes.
Wow. That must be fun to go back there and see your name on things.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I think the family owned that for the work they did up there. They really helped to form the seat and be a nice place to live.
And to populate it.
Yeah, and to populate it, yeah.
Could you explain for a moment the Brazilian-style barbecue you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's different than America for some ways. We barbecue like big pieces of meat and most charcoal, and we have sausage. But it's like, you know, they have a lot of kind of meat. They barbecue the chicken, the pork, and it never stops coming food in your table, like, and that's how I grow up, eating a lot of meat. I can't imagine it being a vegetarian.
Yeah, it would be.
I respect, but it's hard for me, you know. I try to reduce a bit now because there's so much things around meat. And but yeah, when you have the culture and stuff.
And then your barbecue, is it more dry? It's not so sauce-oriented, is it?
No, we just cooked with sea salt, most of the meat, and put on the we have a thing that called picanha, that's my favorite, and it's a special cut, and I don't know here how I can say. Some people say strip, I don't know.
Oh, like but, New York strip?
Yeah, but it's not. It's different. Better. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking us there. I wonder what some of the colors you remember from your childhood might be, standout ones that make you think of Brazil.
Yeah, for me, the blue, I think the sky, Brazil in the summer days is a place that it really shines, like with the sun, the orange, yellow sun. And especially the place where I grew up, it has this soil that's almost red. It's like purple reddish. It's so rich and so beautiful. And funny enough, this is always present in my compositions when I'm doing abstract art. I use this palette because it reminds me a lot of Brazil.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that happens a lot to artists, that they use a palette from their childhood?
I think so, because I lived in England for 10 years and I started art school there. And, you know, I always, my palette is stand up a little bit more. People always said, oh, you know, it's so different, because there people use lots of grays and, you know, the more subtle colors that I think the weather influenced them, or is different, you know, and it comes with you. Of course, today you're going to learn more and you kind of select your palette in the mood you want to express something. But the first reaction is always colors and the tropical, and yeah.
I love that. I wonder if Maine's palette might be represented in the L.L. Bean catalog.
Oh, I really love Maine. And I think I've been here since June. I moved last June. And I've been visiting Portland for 14 years. And I knew Portland in a different way, and Maine, just more coming as a visiting family here. And I really love the colors and the inspiration of the ocean, the buoys and the lobster boats passing by. That's really a colorful too, and it's very inspiring.
That's interesting. The buoys really are a color signature for each person, aren't they?
Exactly. I think they really take care to pick the colors, and they know which boat is for the buoys. They have a very, code for that, and I really like to see and to get inspired by the colors here too.
Yeah. Being from Brazil, you're a Portuguese speaker. This past summer, when a number of Angolans arrived here at the Civic Center, I know that you volunteered to help them get their needs met by showing up and translating. And yet you're not a professional translator. That was kind of a gift that you could give that community, because I know they were a little low on Portuguese translators. What was that experience like for you? How did it impact you personally?
Yeah, for me, it was just when I was moving here and I wanted to get to know the community more, to be involved. And one day, I think I heard someone in my school in Mecca saying that they need a Portuguese speakers. And I said, oh, I can do that. And I volunteer, I email a lady, and she said, oh, if you can come tomorrow, it'll be great. And I was like, oh my God, I will go. And when I came there, it was it's a very strong, because I met so many people that was tired from the journey they had here. And they had a lot of uncertainties because they arrived. And I remember it was very hot. It was a special hot summer. And, you know, everybody was together there. The kids were like running with the trolleys and the little cars and driving everybody crazy. But it was this relief to be here, but this uncertainty that they didn't know where they could go, how life's going to be after they leave.
Yeah, they've been on a long journey already, and they were not done.
Exactly.
That was not a final resting spot.
It's not. And it was really a very important point for me to listen to them, to help how I could in that time, you know, translate sometimes for if they have difficulties, even to send the clothes to wash or to get food. Some people really need that to start, because I knew when I moved from Brazil to England, that was around 15 years ago, I moved without speaking English. And I knew how important the voice is. And when you don't have a voice, it's really hard. And that's one thing that motivates me to help people to translate when I can.
Wow, huge empathy, yeah. Knowing exactly what it's like to not be able to ask for what you need.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so cool that you could do that.
Yeah, I was happy to help.
I know that what you saw and learned there influenced you, because I got to see your artwork that's hanging currently at Mecca that expressed the struggles of the newest arrivals in Maine. Can you talk about the piece I saw and describe it and help me understand what inspired you?
Yeah, for sure. The piece actually is today finished. It was part of the Resilience and Diversity Week in Maine. We had this beautiful community come together to celebrate the diversity, and different cultures all came together. And I have this piece they call The Pain of Uncertainty, that is an abstract way that I found to show the sympathy I had and how I could sympathize with the pain they were feeling, that I could see in their eyes. I could never feel that same pain, but I could be sympathetic with, and that's representing my work. In any moment, I want to pretend I understand what they are passing through, which the journey was here. But in my interpretation, I could see a lot of energy towards a better future. They really want to be here, engage in the community and be part of it, have a better place for the kids. And that was inspiring for me to go and make that piece.
And what I saw was a big wooden circle about the size of a bike tire, and then tapped into it all the way around on the inside, I believe, right, were
yes.
nails. Mm-hmm. And the nails themselves made me wonder when I looked at it, you know, what's going on? Nails, lots of nails. There were nails on the floor. There was a very interesting shadow cast by the round circle that was spinning, and another circular object on the wall, all in relationship with one another.
Yes. What I've made all around circles, I see a lot of circles of life that represent the lives they're living and our lives. Like, everybody has the circles. We comes around and change places and start again. And the nails was a form that I used to represent the pain, because they all come going to the center, and it's all the pain that I could really experience there with them. And this uncertainty, the circles, they change, they go from one side to the other because they're kind of hanging from the ceiling, and the shadows, they change as well, and that represents the uncertainty that it brings with this journey that they are living.
It was beautifully visually expressed. And also there was a piece on the wall that helped me be sure I thought I what I was seeing was what I was seeing. But
Thank you.
What a beautiful metaphor for pain.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, I have the hope that, you know, we can go for a better place, that people be more tolerant, and it really start and help each other. If it's a little bit, each one of us go and help our neighbors, or just with one translation, or if you don't know how to translate, it could be a form that they know how to do it, a little thing, or volunteer for a shelter, and that really helps. And I became American citizen last June when I moved here, a little after. I was so happy to be part of this community, that how fortunately we can be here. And they say, what we can do to transform, to even, you know, because when I grow up in Brazil, we always look at the America like the U.S. with no poverty, if we compare with us, right? It's a country that it's all about, you know, the beautiful things, even the shoes we want to buy, like the tennis shoes, the Nike. And, you know, we dream about that when we are teenagers. And, of course, now Brazil has still a lot of poverty, and it's hard, but changed since my childhood. We still have more access to things in some ways. But I think when I became American citizen, I really want to cooperate with the community, to be present, and, you know, to be here.
Yes, you landed with both feet.
Yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My name's Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Roberta March. She is an artist, wife, mother, and a voting U.S. citizen. I wonder, you know, you were just speaking to being a citizen, what your thoughts are about voting.
Oh, first I'll say everybody should go vote and really leave the home and vote when it's time, because for me, I'm very excited. It'll be my first time voting for president in America. And I really think we need to get together and have some change and, you know, go forward. And if you can go out and vote and make a difference, it'll be good for the community.
Yeah, a little bit like what inspired you this summer with the Angolans, you know,
yeah.
Focusing on the future.
Exactly.
Taking part to make a good community. Your work seems to have continually moved from the left brain of banking ever more towards the right brain of human behavior and now on toward art and expression. What's been pulling you in this direction?
Yeah, I've always been fascinated about people, and I use, even in bank, I found a way to work in human resource and training people around Brazil. I travel a lot, like, and my voice was really my tool to train, to go to classroom. And when I moved to England, I didn't have this voice anymore because my English was not good enough to really speak out, to pass this knowledge I had. And it took me a lot of time. I went to school, but I need to work, and I got a job in the bank there, and I start trying to balance things. But until I found my voice, today is a great day to be here and, you know, to be sharing this experience. I really encourage people that are coming for a new country that I lived before in England and now here. And of course, it was good because it was English there, helped me a lot. Even if they have some things that I still say wrong, like I said, oh, you put my trousers is pants. And, or I say, where's the rubbish? And people look at me and say, what is the being in America? And they have other words that I still learn, but it was fun. But I encourage people that are coming and to have opportunity to study English. And I know Portland has some places that you can get this education or for free or for a little cost. And the basic thing you need is to learn the language, to really adapt and understand your rights and understand how the community and the society works.
Well, that's how we get strong together. If I don't know what's in your mind, on your mind,
exactly,
I'm not going to be enriched by it.
Yeah.
So language is so important.
And did really have the courage to speak up, even if you speak wrong and you don't know exactly what it is. If some days, like, you know, you can sit down in the corner and cry because people don't understand you or they think your English is not good enough. After all, it's going to be fine. And don't worry about the accent because we never lose them all. And, you know, it's part of the universal language. It's, for me, it's love. If you really, you know, has the courage to be here, you can learn and go forward.
I love that you say that. I think people do worry about, I don't want to say it because I might not say it right. And you're saying just have the courage to put it out there.
Yeah, because I passed that. And sometimes it was embarrassing because people were saying things. And I was looking, say, what they're saying? And I just smile and I was like pretending. But, you know, just say I don't understand and try. I listened a lot of radio and music and Google, you know, the translator now is fantastic to help to understand and really take an hour a day or so, even in yourself, if you work too hard and start talking to people, it helps.
Yeah. You shared your personal equation with me last week, and I don't even think you meant to, but you just were saying time plus pain plus work equals hope. And a lot of your theme is about hope, but it's not just rainbows and kittens. How do you apply this equation to your daily life? I think I didn't say it quite right. Pain plus time plus work equals hope.
Yeah. This equation is linked, I think, with the circle of lives. We have some phases in our lives that can be very difficult, very painful. I think everybody that's listened had someone that passed away or was a breakup or something that hurts you. And for me, of course, I had these moments in my life very, you know, when I was young, I lost my first husband. And that was a shock. I was with a 3-year-old daughter. And I just look at my ancestors and look at Europe as a way to start. And I went to England, and luckily I have the Italian passport that made me to be a legal immigrant there. What helps to find a job is, of course, a journey that it seems to be much easier, but in the same time, although you don't speak the language, you still have some issues to deal with and to learn. And that's why I say it needs time to learn, and you need, even if you think you are failing, that's not good, just keep going, keep the hope. And I'm very optimistic. Sometimes people get nervous or say, ah, how you can be so happy, or with that, life is not that good. But I think if you find this, like, inside you, sometimes we are looking so much outside for the confidence, for the affirmation. And then one day you stop and realize it's all inside you. And that's my equation to really go with the hope and look inside you and find this strength to continue.
Wow. You're very brave and and strong to realize that it's inside. Then you can count on yourself. You have had solo exhibitions when you lived in Houston, Texas, prior to moving to Maine. And if people want to see your artwork, they can follow you on Instagram at Roberta March Artwork. And we're running kind of low on time, so I just wondered if you could tell us just quickly what your dream is as an American artist.
Well, I'm finishing my master's, my MFA in MECA, Maine College of Art, next year. I still have 1 year to go. And I really want to work with a community, and I do make mosaics, and hopefully one day the mosaics can be spread in the town with colors and all the diversity we are seeing in Maine that really, you know, pops out, and it shows a future that we can live with tolerance. And I really want to be part of this community.
Wonderful. Roberta, you are so committed to connecting people and listening to often unheard voices in order to build a more whole and healthy community. Thank you for enriching this community with your insight and your focused work and all your global perspective.
Thank you for having me, Kate. It was a pleasure, like I said.
Pleasure for me, too. And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song Roberta has selected for us. Can you announce this song, what we're going to play?
The Girl from Ipanema, from Tom Jobim. And I picked that because it's a universal music, and you'll probably be familiar.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? Que existe a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor. Each one she passes goes, ah.
passes, each one she passes goes.